Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, Holy Trinity Sunday, is our second lesson, Book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at the 22nd verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, from today's second lesson, also a quote from the book of Psalms. Lord, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Now, there's an eye-opener. Second lesson for today, it's an eye-opener. Years back, when I went to seminary, preacher school, they taught us to use the original Bible languages, Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament, when we were preparing our sermons. No easy task. Blood, toil, tears, sweat, frustration, long years of working with it over and over again. I still remember when I first started out, sitting in my office at our little country church, getting ready for Sunday's sermon, and it took me a whole day, 8 hours, to translate one lesson with a dictionary in hand, 40 years ago. But our professors would quote an old saying from Martin Luther. And they would say, if we lose the languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, if we lose the languages, we lose the gospel. And Martin Luther was right, and my old teachers were right, as I have found on more than 1,000 occasions, like this one today. It stares you in the face if you can see it. I was getting today's sermon ready, and as I was taught, I got out my Greek Bible to read Acts chapter 2 to get ready for today's sermon. And after long years of blood, toil, tears, and sweat, and frustration, I usually can breeze right through it. But not this week. This week took me back 40 years sitting in my office. As I looked at my Greek Bible, and I looked over and over again at my dictionary, every other word, having to look them up with advanced vocabulary, complicated sentence structure in the sermon that was delivered by St. Peter on the first Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now that's a puzzler. Until it hit me between the eyes. And that is that the sermon that was spoken by St. Peter in the second chapter of Acts, the first Pentecost Sunday, Peter's sermon was simply not the way a man talks who catches fish for a living. It is not the way a fisherman talks. Not only not the way a fisherman talks, it is also not the way a fisherman talks for whom the Greek language is his second language, not his first language. And what do you have in front of you? You read it in the original, and it is polished Greek. It is literary Greek. It is educated Greek. It's the kind of Greek language that rich people would send their sons overseas to learn from tutors so that they would be educated and eloquent, and they could speak in the Roman Senate. And this is not the way a Galilean fisherman talks. It simply is not. Unless the Lord had something to say about it. Unless the Lord had a hand in it. Let's see. Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And if the Holy Spirit is speaking, he is not going to speak with a thick accent as a Galilean would speak Greek. He is not going to speak stumbling over his grammar. He is not going to speak using simple words because he doesn't know how to use the big words. The Holy Spirit, when he speaks, will speak it properly, will speak as it was meant to be spoken. And so it is, verse 12 in that passage, all of them were amazed and they were perplexed. And they were saying to one another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" But that's the whole point of a miracle. The whole point of a miracle is to be an eye-opener, to get you asking, "What does this mean?" And Peter fills in the blank. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." And that's the point of miracles. Whether you read about them in the Bible or whether God does one in your life because he continues to do them all the time, that's the point of miracles. They're supposed to be eye-openers. And he says, you want miracles? You got boatloads of them in the Lord Jesus. You know it. All the way up to the very end when he was on the cross and there were 3 hours of darkness over the land and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And there was an earthquake, and the dead came out of their graves, and they began to walk around in the holy city, seen by many. And then there was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus himself. And Peter says in his sermon, he says, how many more do you need? How many more do you need to see? St. John said the same thing at the end of his gospel. He said, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name," so that your eyes get opened. And so back to Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and you murdered by the hands of lawless men. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now there, certainly at least on the surface, also looks like another eye-opener. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that you killed him. that you murdered him, that you handed him over to lawless men. And Jesus' disciples weren't a whole lot better than that. Luke chapter 24, he had to say this. He said, "You foolish men, how slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Unbelief is an eye-opener. It's surprising, considering all the evidence. And yet, maybe in a way not, if you consider what the Bible says about us, if you consider the human heart, if you look in the mirror, if you see your own experience, how many times do you have to see? How many times have you seen and you forget? You forget because you're under stress, or you forget because you're not under stress and you set your hopes all of a sudden on other things, things in this life. I want to get this done before I leave this world. I want to have this happen. I want to gain this goal. How many times? And if it was true of the disciples who daily lived with our Lord Jesus, how much more so for you and for me? Which is why it is a good thing that your salvation and my salvation is not tied to our faithfulness. And it is not tied to our memory. Our good memories that always recollect what the Lord did for us. Our salvation is tied to something else. It's moored to something more solid. It's anchored in a stronger place. It is tied to the cross of your Lord Jesus. It is tied to the cross of your Savior Jesus. And that's why, as a Christian person, you get the ultimate eye-opener. Acts chapter 4. Salvation is found where? In no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so you come to church and you sing the old hymn. It's like a lot of the hymns, same message, because that is the message. How does it go? "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears, within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome and pardon, cleanse and relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. These things are written, and these miracles are done to be eye-openers. These things are written and done that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So that just like King David prophesied in the book of Psalms, so about the Lord Jesus, you can also say it about yourself with confidence. It's true about Jesus. It's true about me. And what are the words? "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My flesh will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to the grave, or let your Holy One see corruption. Lord, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with your gladness in the light of your presence." And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.